Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And welcome to another episode of Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio with Rashida and Robert. It's December 29th, and we are broadcasting live from Seattle, Washington. And joining me on helm right now is Sifu Rekdeel from Burbank, California. How are you doing, Sifu Bob?
I'm actually really well. You know, it was really funny the other day. You know how I love to tease you poor bastards in this cold weather by telling you
whatever.
How hot it is here.
whatever.
Well, on Friday, you know, I posted it was 81 degrees, and you commented on my post that says glares at Bob. Well,
yeah.
It was funny because I remember in 2012, you came down here for the Masters, and I said, oh, by the way, you're teaching on Sunday for a friend of mine. You said, okay, whatever. Well, we get taken to breakfast by Michael Rivera, which just visited you up north, and I remember, I knew what was going to happen. He was buying. He took the bill. You went to reach for your wallet, and I hit you. And I got
and
the glare.
And I was like, what the heck? I was like, what the hell?
I was smacked you in the leg. And I saw somebody posted a picture yesterday of Lisa King, a good friend of ours from Las Vegas, and the caption read, "A queen is sometimes a king." And I thought that was so awesome the way
that
was worded.
That is awesome. That was good. That was cool. I thought that was really cool.
So, and this being our New Year's show, our last show of 2013, you know, coming up on Wednesday is the 125th Rose Parade, right? Well,
right.
If you don't know, Shirley Temple was the Grand Marshal twice for the 50th annual and for the 100th annual. Now, I decided, okay, I don't know if she's alive or not still. So I looked her up, and she is still alive, and I found out she was married to a guy that lived two blocks away from me, and I went to school with his kid.
What?
John Agar, he was an actor in a lot of John Wayne movies. He was married to Shirley Temple from 45 to 50, or 1945 to 1950. Well, I read this notable, it's not really a notable quote, but it's a quote from Shirley Temple. She said, "I stopped believing in Santa Claus when I was 6 years old. Her mother took her to see Santa Claus when she was six. And Santa Claus asked her for her autograph." At that point, she stopped believing in it. I thought that was so cool.
That is cool. Now, she must be like almost, let's see, she was like six in the 30s.
She was born in 28.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she'd still be alive.
She's almost 90.
Yeah, that is so awesome. I've been a fan of her show since I was a little kid. Really cool. Well, let's go ahead.
Can you remember that far back?
To 1932? What?
No, can you remember that far back to when you were a little kid?
I do, as a matter of fact. In fact, at around this time, like Christmas time, I'm a big fan of that one movie that she did. Oh gosh, what was it called? I forgot what it was called. But it was about like her dad that was apparently lost in the Boer War, and she was in an orphanage, and the orphanage people treated her like crap, and she met some nice guy next door or something like that, and just made her dreams come true. And I don't know, I forgot what it was called. I think it was
was that the one with Buddy Epson?
Yeah, I think so. I think
so. Were they tap dancing together? Yeah, that was a great movie.
I don't remember, but maybe our guest co-host might remember. I'd like to bring on the mic of our special guest co-host who's joining us again this week. He joined us last week for last show, and we had so much fun that we asked him back. I'd like to bring on Sensei Wayne Riley back to the co-host helm. How you doing, Sensei?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Really cool. Now, this is going to drive me up the wall unless I find out. Do you remember the name of that Shirley Temple movie where she's in an orphanage and her dad's lost, been reported lost in the war, and when they found out that the dad's gone, then the owners of the orphanage treat her like crap, but then he comes back at the end, and everything's hunky-dory after that. Oh, my gosh. And then there's this nice guy next door that, like, makes all their dreams come true. She wakes up, and it's like... room is redone and like beautiful things and stuff like that, and then the orphanage people think she stole the junk and tried to like punish her. You know, I can't remember.
I'm trying to find it now.
Okay, if you find it, let me know. And if there are any listeners out there that happen to know the name of that movie, because it was my favorite when I was a child. Our number here is 347.
I'm just gonna pull up IMDb and that'll pull up all of our movies on it.
Yeah, it should.
Okay.
Our phone number is 4767-70699. So if anyone knows the name of that Shirley Temple movie, then cool. Because I know Buddy Ebsen was in one of the movies, but I don't remember if that was the movie that he was on. But anyhow, so today's show is all about New Year's resolutions, the origins of New Year's resolutions, discussion about are resolutions really necessary? Why can't we just resolve things at any time of the year? Why does it have to be at the beginning of the year? And we're going to talk also a little bit about some of the best and worst news subjects of 2013. So if anyone wants to add to their best and worst list or whatever, 347-677-0699. We've also got a chat board on the Blog Talk Radio show marquee. And just remember, you actually have to go to the show marquee to post on our chat board. You can't post on the Facebook page. Well, you can, but I'll just, like, get lost trying to go through that many windows and stuff like that. So, anyhow. All right, well, why don't we go ahead and get moving? So, Stephen, let's go ahead and start with some birthdays. I think you have some, and I have some too.
Right, absolutely. Well, this is a good friend of mine, fine actor. He did voice on Monster Garage. He was in a Robin Williams movie. His birthday is December 31st, and that goes out to Brett Wagner, one of our show guests and inductee into the Masters Hall of Fame this year. Also December 31st, Mr. Brian Duffy. January 1st, we have Jeannie Lopez. Also on the 1st, we have Melinda Ota, and she's a very big tournament promoter in the Southern California area. A good friend of ours, and we're a good friend of the family, Amy Abbott, her birthday is on the 2nd. Terrence Hale, a very fine martial artist, his birthday is on the 3rd. And a good friend of mine, a great martial artist, one of Silky Greg Wooldridge's students for a long time, Lawrence Stagger, and his birthday is on the 4th.
Very cool. Awesome. I've got a few as well.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Let's see. I've also got December 31st, Grandmaster Michael Chiron. It's his birthday on the 31st. On January 1st, Christian Carter, the son of one of our previous guests, the Master Craig Carter. He's got a birthday on New Year's Day. What a cool way to celebrate. January 2nd, a Kung Fu Wushu colleague named Carmina Bediones. Her birthday is on the 2nd, as well as Sarah Robertson Palmer, and she's the mom of one of my upper-ranked students, Graham. So shout-out to Sarah and Carmina for January 2nd. And a few more for January 3rd. We've got Grandmaster John Mack of Doce Pares, who teaches from the Cebu headquarters of Doce Pares. So happy birthday, Grandmaster John. I'd like to send a shout-out for a January 3rd birthday also to Elaine Powell, who was a board member for the Pacific Association of Women's Martial Artists and a longtime member. Shout out to you, Elaine. And last but not least, to my very good friend and former One Hop Kwon Do classmate, Lori Johnson. So, Sensei Wayne, do you have any birthdays that you know of for this coming week?
No, not for this coming week. I do not.
Okay. Well, for everyone that's having a birthday, here's that special tune for you. Birthday song so far. Happy birthday,
everybody. It is. It is so cool.
It is cool. That's awesome. All right. Let's move on to shout outs. But before we do that, I just posted on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page a link to a video of the worst martial arts demonstrations of 2013. I saw this this morning, and I went, "Oh my gosh, you've got to be kidding!" I mean, granted, it probably was like not so funny when it happened, but you know, someone took the time to put this compilation together and post it up on Kotaku.com. So I decided, okay, it deserves being put up as the worst martial arts demonstrations for 2013. So, but I'm really sorry that those mishaps happened. But you know, we've all been there. I know I've done like pretty bad martial arts demonstrations. I once actually had a broadsword come apart on me and go flying across the restaurant where I was doing this demo.
Four.
That's pretty much what it was. I was doing something called a cloud sword with a broadsword. And it broke off at the tang. It flew right over everybody's heads. I was in a huge pizza restaurant, and it flew over everybody's heads and went right in the little window that goes into the kitchen. Right. And I saw it in slow motion, just went, phew, phew, and everybody ducks, and everyone, you know, and everyone in the kitchen like ducks, and their heads pop up again, and everyone's like, yay. Like, oh, God. That was the worst martial arts demonstration of 2003. I remember the year, too. That was bad. All right. Let's move on to some news and shout-out. So, first news flash that I want to do is I want to place a shout-out to Maya Freeman. Maya Freeman was a guest on our show a couple weeks ago. Maya the Trainer is how she's known in the fitness business, and she is hosting the Core Consciousness Fitness Jam. And this is being held on the 4th of January in New York City. And she says, want health and wellness in your life? To lose weight and feel better? What are you waiting for? Join today if you want to change. Create it. See you at the gym on Saturday, January 4th, 2014. There will be a life-changing day with fun, exercise, and music. Come celebrate the new year. Take one or all classes. All levels of fitness welcome. Three core consciousness classes are, let's see, 10 a.m. is the core consciousness boot camp. 11 a.m. is total body. 12 p.m. is cardio kickboxing. All classes are taught with three levels of intensity, low, moderate, and vigorous. Teens and beginners are welcome. Now, to order tickets, you can order tickets through Eventbrite. And the link is too long for me to see here, so I'm going to go ahead and post it on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page here in a minute. But this fitness gym is located at Dance Manhattan Dance Studios in New York, located at 39 West 19th Street, up on the fifth floor. It says fifth floor, but it says fourth floor studio. Go figure. Maybe the fifth floor is the main office and the actual studio is on the fourth floor, so they take up two floors. So, but again, that's in New York, 39 West 19th Street at Dance Manhattan Dance Studio. So there's that. And let's see here. And Sifu Bob just handed me a newsflash from Sifu Doug Wong. Sifu Doug Wong is going to be doing a seminar of Chinese martial arts and healing techniques. This is going to be March 15th, but we like to start off announcing stuff really early and to keep announcing in the coming weeks until the event. And this is also called, and this is for the Spanish people, the Seminario de Artes Marciales, Chinas y Técnicas de Sanación. So anyway, he says, come join me in Mexicali, Mexico on Saturday, March 15th. At Soto Karate Studio. The donation is 500 pesos. The seminar is hosted by Sifu Frank Gonzalez and Master James Valentino Santi. All styles are welcome, including beginners. Come and learn various Chinese fighting methods and healing techniques that will enhance your martial arts system. Join us at Facebook at Seminario de Artes Marciales Chinas y Técnicas de Sanación. Say that 10 times fast. So just look that up. Yeah, just look that up.
One time slow.
Yeah, sure. Just look that up. Seminario de Artes Marciales. So yeah, whatever. I'll post that too. Actually, it's already on our Facebook page. You've got to kind of scroll down a little bit to find it, but it's already there. If you go to the website, the Seminario de Artes Marciales. Updated information with address and directions to the event will be on that site. So very cool. But before I forget, let me go ahead and post the fitness jam thing to the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page so I don't forget. There we go. Awesome. It's on there. All right. Let's move on to more news flashes. So all the country. On January 1st, polar bear plunge events are going to be taking place all over. These annual events are going to be held in places such as Evergreen, Colorado, New York's Coney Island Bowler Bear Club. Bowler
Bear. Good thing you don't
Bipolar Bear Club? I don't know. Coney Island Polar Bear Club. That's what I get for putting P and B words together. Then there's another event in Boston, Milwaukee, New Jersey, Minnesota. I mean, they're all over the place. There's a Plunge-a-Palooza in Maryland, which is the largest polar bear plunge in the United States. It's held annually at Sandy Point State Park, and it raises funds for Special Olympics. It's also sponsored by the Maryland State Police. Wow. And one time, I think it was 2007, Plunge-a-Palooza raised $2.2 million and had 7,400 participants. Can you believe that? 7,000 people jumping into the water. Whoa, what a party, right?
And then,
That's amazing. But in 2008, Plunge-a-Palooza went beyond that. They had an estimated 12,000 participants. Wow. That's pretty cool.
If we had that on the West Coast, we'd be laughed at because the water would still be 75 degrees.
Yeah, right? Well, in the West Coast, in your area. Your area. In my area, the water's like 32 degrees.
It is. Yeah, it's cold here in Ohio, too.
I'll bet. Like, I have a friend that lived in Ohio, and she says it's like freezing.
Yeah.
Well,
the last couple days haven't been too bad, though.
My cousin posted this morning, tagged me in a photo of her weather in St. Paul, Minnesota, and said, why don't you come visit me? She posted the weather, and I said, that's why.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, good luck to all those polar bear plunges. I do want to announce one of Seattle's polar bear plunges, the one that I usually go to, the Alki Beach West Seattle Polar Bear Swim, is going to take place January 1st at 10 a.m., and this happens every January, and this particular one is going to be held in the same place as last year, Alki Beach, across from Duke's Restaurant. So if you're a West Seattleite, you'll know where that is. They estimate maybe about 400 people this year, in a long line. After lining up about 10 to 5 minutes before 10 a.m., we're all going to line up, grab hands, and enter the Puget Sound right at 10 a.m. So meet across from Duke's Restaurant at 9:45 a.m., and make sure you have all your stuff ready. You know, have your tea, have your hot toddies, whatever you want to bring with you, and your towels. Dress up in costumes if you want, and come meet us there January 1st.
Last year was Vikings, Rusty. What are you doing this year? I don't know
because, you know, like an idiot, I made plans for that morning, and then I got this news yesterday, and I went, oh, crap. So I don't know if I can go, but I don't know what the theme is going to be this year for the group. I'm going to have to, like, find out. But it was Vikings last year, and then it was Mexican wrestlers the year prior to that. We dressed up as, like, masked wrestlers.
Oh, crap.
It was so much fun. And, you know, what's funny at the polar bear plunge is when you go in, the water is so cold it actually feels hot until you're in there for about 10 seconds. And then your body goes through that reflex where all you can do is inhale. You gasp, and you can't help it. You just kind of go, you know, and then everything, like, goes, oh, my gosh, I have to get out. So, you know, for me and a lot of people, you basically go through a brief moment of panic, even though you know you're completely safe, and that's just what your body does in its attempt to shut down all the important things. And at that point, you know it's time to get out.
Oh, see, Rusty, now, did you know that I am such a master of my body? Did you know that my body will never go into shock like that? Because, for one reason, you're never going to find my ass in that water like that. You guys are nuts.
Not happening.
Not happening. Not happening. You know,
the only thing is, you took video last year. I could almost see your lips blue.
Yeah, they kind of were. They kind of were, and we had spiked cider that year, and we, like, literally, like, drank that stuff down, like, straight out of the thermos boiling. It was, and it didn't faze us at all because we were that cold, and I couldn't get warm for the rest of the day. But, you know, it's only one time a year and blah, blah, blah. But I think this year I'm just going to, you know, go have breakfast and spend time with friends, stuff like that, in warm restaurants. I think that'll be it for me on January 1st. All right. So let's see here. Bob, do you have any other shout-outs?
No. You covered pretty much everybody.
Okay. What about you, Sensei Wayne?
Hey, let's see, all the students at American Ninja Karate Academy, all friends on Facebook, hey.
Very cool. So give us a call, you guys.
All I've got.
Yeah, give us a call, everybody out there listening, 347-677-0699. Especially if you want to join the fun, if you're one of Sensei Wayne's students or members of his dojo, please call in and join the fun because, you know, Sensei, if all of your students are as fun as you are, we're going to have a blast if you call in. So call in. Call in, everybody. Let's make it a fun one. Come on. It's the last broadcast for 2013, and me and Sifu Bob have plenty more plans for 2014. In fact, we are going to start 2014 with a bang. Should we give a bang to Sifu Bob? Let's give it away, Sifu Bob. You get the honors.
And he was so gracious to accept me asking him if he'd do our show. We're going to have Master Ken from the web show enter the dojo on as our first guest of the new year 2014. I forget his real name. His first name is Matt, but it's a great show to watch if you want to laugh. I love the show. And I just found out yesterday he is confirmed as the MC for the 2014 Masters Hall of Fame in Long Beach, California this year.
Woo!
Wow.
Oh, man, it's going to be a fun year, folks. I mean, we're going to start January with a bang. We've got Master Ken. And, you know, Matt's just a fun guy, just so much fun. And I'm sure we'll have lots of questions to ask him. And Sensei Wayne, you're more than welcome to join us for that one, too.
Woo.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So it'll be really cool.
Oh,
anybody that wants to join us.
I love it in the dojo.
I do, too.
Yeah.
And
oh, it's so hard.
Yeah. It's, you know, who would have thought that one video would have gone so viral?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And but
oh,
we're
yeah.
going to talk more about that. We're going to talk more about that next week. So that'll be really cool. So anyone that wants to join us on January 5th, 6 p.m. Pacific, please do call in or listen. Call in to talk to Master Ken. And I'm hoping to see if we can get some of the other cast members, too, to join us. I think it'll be
That would be fun.
I don't know how long we'd be able to keep those guys in character for 2 hours. I'd probably like pee myself from laughing so hard, but all right. Cool. Well, let's go ahead and move on to the health news. All right. So I just want to bring out just a few interesting subjects for health news for 2013. Now, there's like so many, so instead, I'm just going to go through a few, but I'm going to actually post the link to all of these articles for 2013. So number one, or actually the top three that I wanted to post for the top health articles for 2013 is one, how beetroot juice may help lower blood pressure. And the story about this is, let me see if I can get a new window on this going here.
That just sounds gross.
Beet juice. You know, well, you know, I like beets raw. I like them cooked, but I haven't had.
Yeah, raw.
I haven't had it juiced, so I don't know. But it says that a cup of beetroot juice a day can help lower your blood pressure in patients with hypertension, according to a new study. The study was conducted by researchers from Queen Mary University of London and was published in the American Heart Association journal called Hypertension. The scientists examined the impact consuming nitrate has on blood pressure and then confirmed their findings in a small study involving 15 patients with high blood pressure. Now, beetroot being very rich in nitrate is one of several vegetables that are very rich in these nitrates, including lettuce, cabbage, and fennel. You know, that doesn't actually sound too bad to take all of those and juicing it and putting it in a smoothie. That doesn't sound too bad, especially with the fennel in it.
Yeah, I could probably handle it like that, yeah.
Yeah, with the fennel to give it kind of a licorice taste. Now, the vegetables like that take in nitrate through the soil, and nitrate is crucial to the growth of these vegetables. Now, the authors explain when it is converted to a gas called nitric oxide, it has a relaxing effect on blood vessels and may help lower blood pressure. So anyway, that was an interesting article. Now, to read the whole article, it'll be part of the stories on that whole big link that I'm going
to
post.
Of course, did they say that's to lower your blood pressure, you really just need a shot of vodka with that? I should start drinking that just before the show.
Well, apparently last week...
Shot of vodka with the beach. excuse.
I know, right? Well, apparently last week it appeared that we were drinking before the show.
Absolutely.
And also walnuts and walnut oil can benefit heart health beyond lowering cholesterol. That particular link is going to be on the big link. And also the third of the top three health foods, in my opinion, for 2013 is that exercise may ward all you're gonna laugh after I read this. Exercise may ward off Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. I almost said Alfheimer's. So, anyway, keep exercising, everyone, because it's good for your body, it's good for your brain. So, yeah, so great health news for 2013. I'm going to copy it right now, post it right up on the webpage. Boom, there it is. News archive from medicalnewstoday.com. So then there's lots. There's at least 100 great news stories.
Wow.
For health. It's really cool. Yeah, I spent the good part of yesterday reading it. I thought it was really cool. So, cool. Well, that's it for my health news. I think it's time to
weird
move.
Weird news.
And this week she finds the audio clip. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I got home in time.
Well, this is a weird one. Do you guys know, you guys all have banks. You guys go to the bank. Well, on Halloween, it says do not enter bank with a mask on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't have that at Christmas time. Nobody thinks about people entering a bank with a mask. So, In Florida, they had a Santa Claus enter their bank. Nobody thought anything of it. Well, Santa Claus robbed Florida Bank. December 24th, 2013, a bank robber disguised as Saint Nick held up a Florida bank by threatening to harm the teller with a gift-wrapped package. That didn't sound right either, did it?
No.
No.
Yes. Look what I have for you.
It sounded like an endorsement for condoms, didn't it?
Oh, God.
Oh, I'm sorry. The thief, wearing a Santa hat, beard, white gloves, and sunglasses, fled with an unspecified amount of money from the SunTrust Bank in Port Orange on Monday. This package is in red wrapping paper, was placed on the counter, and this bad Santa passed a note implying that it contained something dangerous, the Orlando Sentinel reported. The evil Chris Kringle walked out with cash and left the package in the bank. Police evacuated the branch and called the sheriff's bomb squad, according to the Daytona Beach News. Although they wouldn't reveal what was inside the box, officials said it was harmless. Oh, my God. And that's where the story ends. They said it was harmless, so some guy took an empty box, more than likely, or something in it to make it feel heavy, and then nothing dangerous was in it, and said, let's see if this works. Let's see if these people are stupid enough. And then he left the package there.
God, what an idiot. I've got a loaded candy cane.
Oh, man. So, I've only got a couple of weird laws this week. They're both from Greece.
Okay.
In Greece. Now, I wish sometimes some of the laws from other countries would be passed over here, especially if you have young children. In this case, over here, they're babysitters. They really are. All electronic games are banned in Greece.
That's
unfair.
Yeah.
Now, this next law comes from hundreds of years ago. One could not wear a hat in the Olympic Stadium in ancient times as it would obstruct somebody's view. Oh, heaven forbid somebody can't see somebody being thrown in the lions.
Oh, That's Gladiator stuff.
I want my money back.
I know, right?
At least feathers were in my face the whole time. I did not see anyone get killed today.
They didn't have gladiator events in the Olympics back then, did they? In the Olympics? I don't remember.
Yeah,
but
well, no, in the Olympic Stadium, in the Coliseum.
Got it. Cool.
I wonder what the name of that category would be. Run like hell.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Oh, only two from Greece. Well, geez,
only two.
I guess that's it for
Weird News.
All right. Well, let's move on. Okay. So normally, all throughout this year, I've done a trivia question, and we've had the trivia question contest where, be the first caller, and you get to win a chance to be a guest co-host on the show or to be a guest. Well, for this time, because it's almost New Year's, I want to do something a little more interesting. If you guys give me a year, I can see about looking up something notable that happened on the 1st of January on that year or a year that came close to it if nothing interesting happened that year. So
okay, let's go for my birth year, 1964.
1964. We got to go to page 2. 64. Two things happened. Doesn't sound too interesting, but KNMT TV channel 12 in Walker, Minnesota begins broadcasting, and KTVS TV channel 3 in Sterling, Colorado begins broadcasting. So that's something I know that happened.
That's a boring ass year.
I know. Let's try 1966. Three things happened then. 1966, 12-day transit work strike shuts down the New York City subway. Milk Coop by Colonel Jean Bedel Bokassa in Central African Republic. What? Military coup. There we go. Milk Coop. I'm like, what's Milk Coop? What the hell? Military coup in Central Africa. In Simon and Garfunkel, Sounds of Silence reaches number one. And all cigarette packs have to carry the caution cigarette smoking may be hazardous to your health warning out of January 1st. Uh-huh. All right.
Oh,
any other
by the way, I want to put a word out to our listeners. Neither Rusty or I read our copy before it's on the air.
We don't. We just
wing it.
Milt Coop. I'm like, what the hell is that? Oh, Central African Republic. Oh, military coup. Okay. Gosh, that's what it says. It says Milt Coop.
Milt Coop.
K-O-O-P. I don't know who wrote this. But anyway. Okay, how about Sensei Wayne, how about you throw out a year?
What's that?
How about you throw out a year?
1963.
G. Woods. I don't know who G. Woods is. G. Woods. Eugene Black as president of the World Bank, and WTEV, now WLNE TV, Channel 6 in Providence, Rhode Island, begins broadcasting. Yeah.
That's it?
That's it.
That's
a double
word. And you too.
Now, this goes back as far as 153 B.C. Now, 153 B.C., on January 1st, on the Roman calendar, the Roman consuls begin their year in office. And then, 45 B.C., the Julian calendar takes effect for the first time. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, let's see. What else? The year 69 A.D. Was the Roman garrison of Maine's uprising. Year 89, Governor Lucius Antonius Saturninus of Germany becomes Emperor of Rome. And let's see, year 1313 was the start of Roman pontifical indiction. It says indiction. I don't know if that's the right word. And then the year 404 AD, the last gladiator competition took place in Rome. Yep. Let's see. How about, let's see. Anyone else want to throw out a year, like in the 1500s?
Let's go more recent. Let's go my son's first year, 1995.
Okay, let's see here. Let me go to page 3. Oops, was on page 2. Yep. Let's see here, page 2. 1995?
Yeah.
Okay. Lots of things happened. Okay. The Glass Menagerie, the play Glass Menagerie, closes at Criterion Theater in New York City after 57 performances. The Shadow Box closes at Circle in SQ Theater in New York after 49 performances. Austria, Finland, and Sweden act to join the European Union. The Centennial of Canadian Mounties. It's the centennial of the presence of Canadian Mounties in Canada's Yukon Territory. Fernando Henrique Cardoso is installed as president of Brazil. 1995 was the International Year of Tolerance. 1995 was also the year that the last Far Side cartoon was put in publication by cartoonist Gary Larson. In 1995, Ramon Lamba and Ravi Sengal score 464 points for first wicket for Delhi. Wicket. Wicket's a sport, isn't it? Wicket. Wicket. 1995, the Tuna Christmas closes at Booth Theater after 20 performances in New York City. And the Draupner wave in the North Sea in Norway is detected, confirming the existence of freak waves. And that's what happened in 1995 on January 1st.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, you have a New Year's resolution that I found very interesting because I think our relationship is built on this. You say you're going to give up having grudges against people.
My resolution was to realize that it did me no good to hold grudges against people. I've had several grudges that I've held for almost 20 years, and you know, it just takes too much effort to hold on to those grudges, you know. And what's funny is that for the most part now, you know, up to 10 years ago, I've literally like almost forgotten about it, and unless something reminds me of it, and then, you know, the grudge comes back. And then I'm just like just pissy for days after that, and it just does me no good. So my New Year's resolution is to let go of grudges and to just move on and to move forward. Because, you know, other people that posted on that conversation, my cousin made a good point. She said, yeah, you're thinking about this and you're holding these grudges. Meanwhile, these people are probably never even thinking about you or what harm they did to you. So you're carrying just a lot of nothing. And
Can I share a grudge with you?
Sure.
I was a kid. This was 31 years ago. I was a locksmith here in Burbank. My family owned a lock shop. This guy came in and says, I locked my keys in my trunk. We said, it's $35 for me to go unlock it for him. And he says, mm-hmm. Okay, no problem. I open it. I open his trunk. And he says, oh, I've got 20. To this day, when I see this guy around town, he's still alive, I still say something to him. Because
really?
He stole from me. Yes. And he stole $15 and it pissed me the hell off. And I'm still
wow.
mad.
Yeah, I'm still pissed about it, you cheap bastard.
That's right.
Well, you know,
and now he's gray and old and never gave it a second thought. But don't cross me.
Yeah. So you were like a teen, right? You were.
Yeah, I was 18. I was fresh out of high school.
Wow. Well, you know, when you're trying to make a living and someone, you know, kind of disses you like that, of course you're going to take it personally. And, you know, I would have too. I know I would have when I was 18. I would have said, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Sure y'all.
In a heartbeat,
you know
I would have.
Yeah, I would have said,
and
you know what, no.
And, of course, hindsight, I wish I would have thrown his keys back in the trunk and closed it and said, now it's 70.
Oh, what happened? Wayne dropped. That was weird.
Oh, no wonder the echo left.
Wayne's call dropped. I don't know what happened. I didn't
hang
up on him.
That's weird. I didn't hang up on him.
Well, hopefully he'll call back.
He will. Hopefully. I'm sure he will.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's my resolution, is to let go of the grudges and move on. And just saying that I would do that. And I put it out on Facebook because, you know, now I'm responsible for it. Right. So that way I had something to own up to. And I did, I let go, and I actually, you know, reached out and to the person that, like, did me wrong some years ago, and it felt good. It felt good, and, and it felt great. You know, it felt like old times and stuff like that, but yeah. We're all older. We're all wiser. You know, I mean, we were young, and...
Well, we're older. I don't know if I'm any wiser. But I am older.
Yeah. So you and me both. But one of my friends yesterday, she recently found me on Facebook, and she looked through my pictures, and she said, I was looking through your pictures. Did you miss the 20s? Did you miss our 20s and the 30s? Because you still look like you did when we were in our 20s. And I'm like, aw, thank you. You know, I think we should call Wayne. Let's call Wayne. Let's call him. Get him back on the air here. Uh-oh.
Was it something we said?
I know. Just like drop.
Hello?
Are you back? You're back. Yay. You just dropped.
I'm back. I know. I just posted on your Facebook page. Help, my call was dropped.
Yeah, I was like, what happened? This big banner.
I went to move my phone, and I set it down, and it said call dropped. So I hit something.
I was like, whoa, that was weird. Yeah, this big banner showed up on my board. It said, caller Wayne dropped. And I was like, oh, no. Cool.
Oh, was it a big banner?
A little banner.
A big banner pop in? Aw.
Well, it was enough to, like, cover, like, the top of my control board. I'm like,
okay.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. So I was like, what happened? But yeah, we were just talking about what we were talking about before you dropped off that, you know, yeah, I did make that resolution. And what I'd like to do is let's go ahead and talk a little bit more about our resolutions, if we have any. We'll invite the callers to call in to tell us about their resolutions, if any, and to discuss the origins of this tradition of making New Year's resolutions and whether or not they're really necessary. And to also discuss the best and worst new subjects of 2013. So let's go ahead and take...
With that, Rusty, I would like to chime in, and I want to take a segment in that segment and do the notable deaths of 2013.
Okay. Yeah, we've lost a lot of
good
people. Deaths.
Oh, notable deaths.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We've lost too many great people in 2013, you know, Nelson Mandela and, you know, just so many people and martial artists. We've lost, like, you know, a bunch of martial artists.
Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly and Lindsay Largusa, and we've lost like so many people. Let's do that. So let's go ahead and take a short break, we're gonna go ahead and play one of my favorite songs. This song is from the script. It's called Hall of Fame, and it's just so uplifting. It tells you to just go out and do what you want to do, and you know, well, if it's positive, of course, you know. Like, I wanted to go out and do crack. Don't do that. You know what I mean? But to go out there, you know. But it tells you to just go out there and just do what your mind tells you to do and to just put your mind to it and do it. And I think it's a perfect song for anyone that that wants to do a New Year's resolution. So we'll be back in about 3 minutes and 22 seconds. We'll be right back after this.
Be the greatest, you can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk to God, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You can be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go find yourself.
Standing in the Hall of Fame, yeah. And the world.
You can run the mile. You can walk straight through hell with a smile. You could be the hero. You can get the gold. Breaking all the records they thought never could be broke. Yeah, do it for your people. Do it for your pride. You're never gonna know if you never even try. Do it for your country. Do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're dead.
Dojo Talk Radio. I'm your host, Christina DeJesus, and I am joined by my co-host, Stephen Robert Deal, and Wayne Riley. And I don't know what I just hit. I don't know what button I hit there. I have no idea.
I thought it was a new part to the show.
I was like, what is that? So, for all our listeners that just tuned in, our phone number is 347-670-699, and I'm having a time with the show board today. Oh. I'm just hitting random buttons. Dang it. Anyhow, so this is our New Year's episode, and we're going to be talking a little bit about New Year's resolutions, the origins of New Year's resolutions, why they're needed, why they're not needed, you know, stuff like that. And Sifu Bob wants to talk about some notables that we lost during the year. And I'd also like to talk a little bit about some of the best and worst news subjects of 2013. So let's get moving on. So the origins of New Year's resolutions, I had always wondered about this. Why is it that on January 1st, people you know, basically make promises to themselves. And I had always wondered about that. And Sensei Wayne, you've got some information as to where this tradition comes from.
Yes. I can't remember the site that I got this from. I kind of lost everything when I dropped the phone call. The site that I was on stated that about 4,000 years ago by the Babylonians, the New Year's resolutions what they did is they around harvest time or the end of harvest, they returned all their borrowed farm equipment.
Oh.
So they signified that time of the year to promise to bring back their borrowed farm equipment.
Oh, very cool. Wow, that's a long ways back. And I did some quick typing. Since you don't have the site, I did some quick typing, and I found another site that has some other origins of where this all convoluted into the tradition we know today. Apparently, the Romans began each year by making promises to the god Venus, for whom the month of January is named. And in the medieval era, the knights took the peacock vow at the end of the Christmas season each year to reaffirm their commitment to chivalry. Another origin is something called watch night service. It was a tradition observed by many Christians back in the day to prepare for the year ahead by praying and making resolutions for the coming year. There are other religious parallels to the tradition. During Judaism's New Year, Rosh Hashanah, through the high holidays and culminating in Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, quote-unquote, one is to reflect upon one's wrongdoings over the year and both seek and offer forgiveness. People may act similarly during the Catholic fasting period of Lent, though the motive behind Lent is more of a sacrifice than of responsibility. In fact, the practice of New Year's resolutions partially came from the Lenten sacrifices. The concept, regardless of creed, is to reflect on self-improvement annually. So, wow, okay, now I know. Now we know where some of these traditions came from. You know, I mean,
I feel fulfilled now.
Yeah, there you go. I'd always wondered because, you know, ever since I was a little kid, people would ask me, so what are your resolutions for the new year? I'm like, you know, I'm a little kid. What's a resolution?
Yeah.
That's a big word. What does that mean? Right?
I don't think I'm supposed to touch none of those.
Yeah. Now, there's I found this list of the most common resolutions that people, at least here in the United States, I don't know about the rest of the world, but the most common resolutions that people commit themselves to. These include to improve physical well-being, as in like eating healthy food, losing weight, exercising more, eating better, drinking less alcohol, quitting smoking, and on and on and on, basically to get rid of bad habits. Also, to improve mental well-being, to improve finances, get out of debt, improve education, or to get a better education, learn something new, like a foreign language, or read more books, improve your talents, etc. Another one is to improve yourself in general, i.e. become more organized, reduce stress, be less grumpy, to manage time better, be more dependent, maybe even watch less television and playing fewer sit-down video games. Some people decide they want to travel more, take more trips. Some people want to volunteer to help others or to practice life skills, give to charity, volunteer to work part-time in a charity, and basically commit time to civic virtue. Others want to get along better with people or improve social skills. Some want to spend more quality time with family members or friends. Another popular one is to settle down and get engaged or married or have kids. Some people want to try more foreign foods and be more adventurous. with exploring cultures. And last but not least, to pray more, be closer to God, or to be more spiritual. However, now, when I read all these, I was like, okay, those are really cool, and those are very popular, because I've, you know, I've resolved to do at least, you know, 10 out of the list. But you know what I thought is that, you know, back in the day, I mean, you know, you had people like the Babylonians that said, you know what, I'm going to actually turn stuff to the people that it actually belongs to, you know. You had knights that, like,
back his plow.
Yeah, right? You know, I'm giving back the plow, you know? And, you know, for the most part, you might have people today going, okay, I guess I'll give the mower back to Jim's store. You know what I mean? But,
right?
You
know,
right? But, yeah. You know, a lot of the resolutions, you know, compared to, like, all that time ago, sounds like a lot of them that you know, I see all over the internet now are, like, kind of superficial. Because, like, I read one, it's from the 19th century. In the 19th century, a typical teenage girl's New Year's resolution was focused on good works. So, like, resolving to be, you know, less egotistical or self-centered, wanting to be more helpful, to be a more diligent worker, and to improve internal character. Now, back then, body image, health, diet, and desired possessions were not even mentioned, if at all. Now, and by the end of the 20th century, this is what I found, the typical teenage girl's resolution is focused on good looks. She wants to improve her body, hairstyle, makeup, and clothing. So, you know, my issue with this is why is it that, you know, as the 20th century rolled on, what is it now? Is it more material or more egotistical, so to speak, you know, and to make these resolutions that are based on ego? That's kind of my question to the public out there now. But I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, you know, you got, like, I read this one Twitter post from some gal that you know, said she wants to make enough money to get Botox. That's her resolution for the year. And I'm like, what the hell?
To get Botox?
To get Botox.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
She wanted to work hard enough to make enough money to have Botox injections. And I'm like, what the hell? You know? Really? That's your New Year's resolution? What are you going to do the rest of the year? Hoping that your lips don't go flat. I mean,
you're going to be working to make more money to get more.
I know, right? Oh, my gosh.
Well, Rosie has a good point, because where does it stop? So she got Botox. Now she wants enough money to get a boob job or a facelift. And
right.
It just never ends. And
I wonder,
one thing Maya brought up was a good thing, was that the media is controlling our thought process. You look at somebody like Angelina Jolie, this beautiful woman with this natural full lips, and now everybody wants to be like her.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask you guys something.
Okay.
What do you feel are the three top resolutions that usually are failed? My thoughts are weight loss, stop smoking, stop drinking. Those are the ones people probably fail the most at.
Yeah. I was going to say the same three. What about you, Wayne?
What was that again?
Which do you think are the...
For some reason, I'm only catching parts of what you're saying. It's like bleeping out.
Oh, weird.
That is weird. No, what do you think that the three top resolutions that fail are? Mine are drinking, smoking, and weight loss are the ones I feel that are the most failed resolutions.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
You know, I mean, just about everybody I know, their New Year's resolutions are, you know, manage their stress, quit drinking, you know.
Yeah, because, like, all three of those resolutions take incredible, incredible discipline. I mean,
I've had several students over the years come in you know, to get fed or, you know, whatever. Usually, right at the beginning of the year, you get a big boost of student enrollment.
Yeah.
And then either as school starts or as school ends,
mm-hmm.
the school year,
right.
you mm-hmm. get a boost. But,
yeah.
you know, the ones that around New Year's, they're coming in to try to get started on those New Year's resolutions. And
exactly.
I've had several of them tell me, like, this is the only reason I really come in. Well, don't make that the only reason, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I'll admit, you know. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'll admit my marketing for my classes do pretty well around the beginning of the year because people want to get, but they don't necessarily want to go to a gym and, you know, lift weights or, you know, jog on a treadmill and going nowhere fast. You know, they want to learn something like self-defense or improve their mental awareness or whatever. But you're right. At, you know, by the time summer comes around, they're either gone or
yeah.
they slid on to something else, or by the end of the year, it's kind of weird. Like around Christmas, around when Christmas vacation comes, we start losing people.
Yeah.
But then we gain new people, even though those old people don't come back in January. I don't understand how that works. But
I don't know, but it drives me nuts.
It drives me insane because it's hard to do any type of projections that way, you
yeah.
know. As far as like budget
well,
and stuff like
that. Well, everything that they learn when they come back, they're not. They, you know, you have to start all over again. You know, they might have one or two, you know, basic things, you know, that they kept, you know, that they might have done enough times. When they come back, pretty much you have to start all over again. It's
yeah.
frustrating.
It is. It's a pain in the butt. And
yeah.
let's see here, listeners. If there are any listeners out there, I want to ask the listeners out there if they're hearing an echo. Because apparently Robert is hearing an echo. The echo's back. Robert's hearing an echo. I'm only getting it every now and again, so it's not really bothering me.
I keep hearing a like a bee sound. You know what I mean? Like a buzz.
Oh,
just every great now and then.
Yeah, it's weird. Because well, I don't know. Sometimes you know, Blog Talk Radio, their servers are like kind of wonky.
Yeah.
For the most part, it's okay, but sometimes it's kind of wonky. Like, it was wonky last week, too, so I don't know. But the show sounded okay when it archived. But, yeah, I was gonna say the same three, Bob.
Okay.
But I think the main reason that people fail is because of the discipline part. You know, I mean, most people are hunky-dory about going, I'm going to lose weight. And I'm going to do that. But then they realize that they got to really watch what they think, that they have to exercise religiously to do it. And, you know, they may or may not be good at planning their schedule around their diet or their exercise, and then they just give up. And then they go, oh, well, screw it, do it in the summer so I can get into a bikini or whatever, right? And then summer comes around, screw it, I'll do it next year. And then, boom, they're done. They failed. And
yeah.
it does. It takes an awful lot of discipline. Like you know, when I quit smoking, that was the hardest thing to do. You know, it took me like 15 New Year's resolutions for it to actually kick in.
It took you 15 years? That's the longest quit smoking program I've ever heard of.
I know, right? It's tough. I mean, you know, when people say that, you know, that it's counted as a drug, it is. You know, and,
yeah.
you know, for the most part, I'm still taking nicotine because I just don't smoke it. You know, I do nasal and stuff like that. But, you know, I smell a lot better now. Literally, I smell a lot better to others. And I smell
both
better.
Both ways. You can smell
both
better.
Ways.
And you smell
and
better.
And I smell better. Yeah. And it's interesting. My food tastes better, too. Oh, my God, food
tastes
yeah. better.
I smoked probably 30 years. No,
wow.
not quite. Maybe about 25 years. I smoked, and I had back surgery in 2007, and they said if you don't stop smoking, we're not going to do the surgery. And I had to have something
wow.
done because I was in just excruciating pain. My disc had completely blown out. It
uh-huh.
was bone to bone. The disc was gone by this point. And I tried that I'm not going to give them any shout-outs, but the first letter is CH, the Quit Smoking Program.
Oh.
You know, the big popular one.
Right, right.
Okay.
Wow.
But I did that, and I am so glad. I am so glad that I did. Because feel much better. I have more wind than I did.
Yeah,
in years.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, even though I
definitely
smoked the whole time I trained, people didn't understand that, but that
yeah,
is
that's
the stress.
Yeah, that people couldn't understand that with me either.
My stress.
People couldn't understand
yeah.
that with me either. Yeah, like after class, I'd like head out to the back and I'd come back in.
Oh, yeah.
Like an ashtray. I do the workout with everyone. Everyone's like, how are you doing that? And then the other students that are there that are smokers, they're like huffing wind. And I'm like, I don't know how that works. I don't know,
yeah.
But it's doubled since quit. And, you know, since then, when I went to the Philippines, I tried smoking a cigarette because a friend of mine just offered me one. And I'm like, I'll try it. But it tasted like crap. Not only was it like a Filipino cigarette, meaning that the tobacco isn't quite the same as it is here, but it tasted like crap. It was harsh as all get out. I'd never had such a harsh cigarette in all my life. And and it tasted like crap. That was it. Tasted like crap, and it was harsh, and I didn't want anything to do with it. I took one drag, and I went, I can't do it. This is awful.
I had smoked menthol, and
so did I.
I got really stressed one day, and I thought, I'm going to go get me a pack of menthols. So I got me a pack of menthols. I smoked two of those. I was sicker than
yeah.
Isn't that weird? I felt like I was turning green or something, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And then you went, this is why I quit. That just affirmed.
I mean, I liked to smoke when I smoked. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the taste of tobacco, the smell of tobacco. So I still have, from time to time, I'll get a craving. So I'll get a cigar or something, you know. So I guess you could say, no, I haven't completely quit because, you know, I'll still do that. But it's not like that craving there anymore.
Yeah. And I'm the same way. I'm the same way. I guess you wouldn't call me a non-smoker because I'm still taking in nicotine. But that's a completely different discussion on its own. Right? Is it the nicotine or is it the smoking? But I actually smoke pipes every now and again. Aromatic tobacco, and you know, and just sit down like how Cecil Bob does with a cigar. Aromatic English tobacco, and it tastes great.
And
I don't inhale
it
because it hurts.
Either, did you?
No, because I tried it once and it hurts. It really hurts because of the way that it's not processed like it is like cigarette tobacco.
Yeah.
It's like it's leaves and flavor. And
have you ever had those little Lebanese cigarettes? I think they come like 8 or 10 in a pack. They're maybe, it might be 2 inches long.
Oh,
they look like a little
dang
joint.
And there's a reason
why they're
so small.
They're all these different flavors. You know, you can get grape or, you know, whatever. I love those things. But you get like 2 puffs out of them and then they're gone.
yeah. And I think that's the same way with like Japanese tobacco because it's so strong.
Yeah, yeah.
You can only take like, you know, the little pipes are like little tiny things, right? You can only take 2 hits and you're done. And speaking of pipe tobacco, I've tried Doha, which is it's like the air tobacco, and it's strong, but it's not meant to be inhaled. It's meant to be put in a little pipe, just kind of like the Japanese pipe. And I do that every now and again because it comes in flavors too, like grape and strawberry, blueberry, apple and junk like that. But cigarettes, I can't stand them anymore. And I look back and I go, how did I do that 30 years? Now, why did the doctors say that you had been smoking before they did your back surgery? Was it
because I already have degenerative disc disease, and smoking intensifies it?
Oh, okay,
the
I
nicotine
see.
Nicotine or something in the cigarettes causes the discs to also degenerate.
Oh,
and
I
didn't. I'd never heard that before. But yeah, they just said, you know, we're not going to do it because it's just like, you know, we're going to do that, but you're going to continue to smoke, and your discs are going to continue to, you know, degenerate, and then you're going to have to come back. You can get one or two more, you know, surgeries, and like, no, no, no. But, yeah, they said, if you quit, we'll do it. If not, no.
Right on.
So I wanted it done because I needed some pain. I needed some relief.
Yeah.
But the year following that surgery, I had probably 10 or 15 different resolutions for that year because I was not nice through all my surgery. I mean, I was a mean person. I was depressed. I couldn't work anymore. I couldn't teach anymore. You know, it was just depressing. And I was a very, very mean person. And it wasn't because of the cigarettes. It was just the different medications that they had me on messed with the different levels of like serotonins and whatever in the brain, and it just had me all messed up. And I wasn't a nice person at all. And I was. I was listing out the resolution that year.
Oh, that bite.
Well, actually, that's a good segue,
I think I'm still
Wayne,
working on that list.
Yeah.
I think we have somebody on the line that could verify that you were a mean person. It looks like we've got a student of yours calling in.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Okay. We've
How
got
was that
someone
for a
calling...
segue, Rusty?
That was a great segue. So we've got another caller from area code. We've got another caller from area code 937. Last four digits of the phone number is 9054. Go ahead. You're on Dynamic Dojo.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Chris Benavides. I was calling to give my my resolution for the new year.
Oh, right on. What's your resolution?
My resolution is to get out of the fight game and get back into the traditional martial arts.
Wow.
Hey, I like the sound of that, Chris.
Right.
I'll tell you what, the fight game is getting too political, getting too crazy.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting to the point. It was pure at one time, and it was really a lot of fun. Now it's just getting too complicated, and I really tend to miss the old hardcore traditional days.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you previously in traditional before you went to do the fight game, or
yes.
What?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
I was. For quite a few years, I practiced traditional Goju-Ryu and Shotokan and dabbled around a bit. But I've been on a roll with the MMA and the UFC since about '96. So, with the commissions in Ohio and it's really any of these guys. There's no discipline, and I know that's not going to make me real popular with a lot of people. But I've been there, and you get these young punk kids that get a heavy bag and watch UFC and think that they got a grip on it. And it's not. But I wanted to just call and check in and say hi to my buddy there and. And just say,
we still have got to get together, man.
Oh, yeah.
We've been working on this for months and months now.
I know. We're going to have to sit down and break some sushi there and have a good time. And
buddy.
We'll make that one of our resolutions. How's that?
Yeah, there we go. There we go. That's one of our resolutions.
Nice. Awesome. Very cool. Now, just out of curiosity, what are your thoughts as to why the MMA circuit has gotten... a little bit, how shall we say, egotistical, political.
Well, when it first started, it was very, very, I had my first fighter out of Piqua there in UFC 6, and that was, I think that was in 95-ish, and very pure. It was style versus style. I mean, I can literally remember them giving me 25 tickets in Casper, Wyoming to go out and hand out on town to try to get people in the stands, because Senator mm-hmm. McCain was pulling the whole human cockfighting angle, and it was you know, it was banned on pay-per-view. And there was a lot of brotherhood, and it was very pure. Then you started getting all the Don King agents involved, and you started getting the commissions and money and sponsorship, and it went the way of boxing. And I always said that once you get those people involved, it just really it takes the fun out of it. And
it does.
It's just very ruthless now. But
because I remember those days when it first came out. I followed it like religiously.
I remember watching the very first one.
Here. And when it got to the point where it started looking like, you know, WWF wrestling.
With the
fireworks and the, you know, rivalries and the, you know, glossy ads and junk like that. I was like, oh, my gosh.
That was during the decline days. They were trying to do something to boost up, you know, attendance and not just the attendance in the crowds, but fighters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody was kind of shying away. Nobody would license you up and. You know, those were the dark days. So they were trying anything they could, you know, to boost it up. And, yeah, they did get a little bit, you know, WWE, whatever it is, wrestling
up. Yeah, but, man, Tap Out sure has made a killing from it, hasn't it? But like you,
you know,
like you said,
it's a multi-billion dollar industry now, and they're reaching into different countries. There was even talk that it was going to be put into the Olympics. Pancration was one of the first Olympic sports, which was a form of that. And, you know, I know Dana White was talking about that. But, I mean, it's so saturated in Ohio now. I mean, you have fights every weekend, you know, here and there. And, you know, it's just
they
like
a
state.
They still have those down at the fairgrounds in Dayton?
Absolutely. Mike Pat runs those. He runs. Yeah, he runs the Dayton Jiu-Jitsu over there, Dayton MMA, and he runs them quarterly. He runs them about every 3 months. Pretty good shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have them like almost every weekend here too, and it's like how many matches? It's kind of like that's it. I'm not. I don't even know what's going on anymore. The last I heard, Edson Silva broke his leg. That was the last thing I heard. I haven't been keeping
up.
Oh,
and that was nasty. Oh, that was nasty looking.
I can't find footage of that anywhere. If anyone knows where I can find that, call me 347-677-0659.
My son had it posted. Let's see. I know
every
my time
son I go click on something, every time I go click on something, it goes somewhere that says that this clip has been removed or something like that. I'm like,
wow.
I saw a still picture of his leg dangling off a.
It was a bad one, but I mean, when you're throwing those hard of kicks and somebody leg checks it, I mean, that's what's going to happen.
What are the odds, though? I mean, to where it didn't hurt the other. I forgot he was fighting, but to where it didn't hurt the other guy. I mean, what are the odds? I mean, that's
right.
That's scary, man.
And that comes into Weidman's,
and
into his condition.
And that's happened a lot, believe it or not.
Yes.
That kind of an injury. Or even the opposite leg, the foundation leg.
The foundation leg break.
Has even kicked out and broke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's so scary.
It looked like jello. But they said he's out of surgery and he should be leaving the hospital.
Yeah, but how's that going to affect his career?
He's
pretty well
done. Yeah.
There's not going to be much more happening. Well, folks, I want to wish you guys a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year,
Chris.
Thanks for joining us for a little bit.
Hey, maybe we can get together and figure out how to eat the pizza and train together.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
I just seen your comment on the under mine where I had posted about the show. My resolution is find a way to train while eating pizza.
That's my resolution. A lot of people ask me, say, Chris, are you in shape? I say, yeah, round is the shape. It never really gets it. But hey, folks, let me know when you guys are on again, and I'll call back in. And it was lovely to hear your show.
Right on.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for calling, Chris, man.
Thanks for calling,
cool.
Chris.
All right,
have a great New Year. Take it easy. Bye-bye. Right on.
Hey, Russ, my call keeps dropping. It's never dropped before. Do you keep disconnecting me for a reason? Was it something I said?
She's doing that to
no,
you now.
I was in a different window. I was on Facebook when your call dropped, when me and Wayne were talking about quitting smoking, and then I come back, and then the banner is up on my board again going, Caller Bob has dropped. So what's going on? You know, and I was wondering why you were quiet. I was like, what's going on? And, yeah, so anyhow. Oh, man. But I just wanted to, before we get into Bob's little segment, I did want to address a little bit about, you know, not only those three resolutions that you brought up, Bob, the drinking, smoking, and losing weight, but any other resolution that people might be failing at. And there was actually a study done about why these New Year's resolutions fail. So this study was done in 2007 from the University of Bristol, and it involved 3,000 people. And this study showed that 88% of those who set New Year's resolutions fail, despite the fact that 52% of the participants were confident of success at the very beginning. Now, men achieved their goal 22% more often when they engaged in a goal setting, i.e. a system where small measurable goals are set, such as a pound a week, instead of saying lose weight, while women succeeded 10% more when they made their goals public and got support from their friends. Now, quoting Frank Raw, who is the author of the New Year's Resolution book, A Course in Happiness, quote-unquote, resolutions are more sustainable when shared, both in terms of with whom you share the benefits of your resolution and with whom you share the path of maintaining your resolution. Peer support makes a big difference in success rate with New Year's resolutions, quote-unquote. It's also noted that talking with a counselor about goals and New Year's resolutions can help you keep those resolutions. So, looks like guys achieve a little more than the women. Now, I'll speak for the women. When it comes to discipline for stuff like that, we suck. So, we suck. We tend to make excuses. And that's why, you know, a lot of women that are successful will make their goals public. As I did, I made my goal public just so I had, so that way I actually own up to it and actually make the steps that I needed to do to reach out and make sure that me getting rid of grudges was happening. So, yay. So, go men. Yay, men. So, moral of the story is set small goals. Don't be all like, I'm going to lose weight. Because, you know, there are other studies that show that when you only see a small amount of weight being lost, you feel like you failed, and then you just fall off the bandwagon. So just set small goals.
Well, maybe if they didn't set their goals, maybe if they didn't set the weight so high, you know, say, I'm going to lose, you know, 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something like that. Don't set the goal, you know, I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year, you know.
Exactly.
A lot of people that, especially that's had their weight problems their whole life, you know, that is a tragic, tragic failure when they don't hit that 5 or that 10 pounds goal, you know.
Yeah. And then they
the media just makes everything amplified.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they really, really make it hard on a lot of people, especially, you know, people that are struggling with, you know, weight issues or, you know, cosmetic issues or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They need to back off.
Yeah.
But you know, they amplify the problem.
They do. Like, I think me and Bob were talking a few weeks ago about how some magazine, like, airbrushed an actress. And I was, like, I was shocked at it, and I'm sure she was, too. I forgot the name of the actress. But that's what teenage girls look up to. They want that airbrushed look. And they have no idea what the actress looks like in real life. They don't look up to
yeah,
that actress without her makeup. Yeah. You know, they they can without makeup, right? And they forget that those women, you know, in the magazines and on TV and stuff like that, you know, they do work hard for their figure if they want to keep it, you know. Meanwhile, you got girls that want Botox and want a boob job and a nose job. They don't want to work for it. I'm not saying that all girls don't want to. I'm just saying that, you know, some girls will just seek out the Botox and the plastic surgery to meet that media-made expectation of what women or men should look like. And it's unfortunate. And I agree. The media should back off.
Yeah.
Back the hell off.
Well,
all right,
no, there are not enough exercises in the world to make a girl have bigger lips or bigger boobs.
There aren't. But, you know, this started, remember back in the Jack London days, you know, in the late, you know, in the 50s and the early 50s and stuff, you know, those chest exercisers, you know, the basic belts on handles and junk like that, that would assure
right.
that women would build a better figure and that guys
would increase our butt.
Yeah, exactly. You know. I think they called them chest straps in the 1970s, you know.
Yeah.
Basically, straps on handles that would, you know, assure you a Charles Atlas body and junk like that. It was like, what a load of bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, come on. But, so there's our rant for the day. The media needs to back off. So
that's right. Back off media.
Back off media. So let's go to Bob. Bob has an interesting list of 2013 stuff. So let's hear about your list there, Bob.
Well, I've got a list of celebrities' deaths in 2013. Some of them are very familiar, like Paul Walker, James Gandolfini, but there are some here that you've never heard of. Well, you've heard of them, but you never knew they pass on, like country music legend Ray Price. Which was very, very influential. He passed away. Joan Fontaine, a very, very famous actress.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Of course, Peter O'Toole. Let's see. I'm just going through the list. I'm just going to name the more known. There's Paul Walker, of course. Let's see, Lou Reed. This is operating with Tom Clancy, the famous author. One I found out had died. Ken Norton, the famous boxer.
Yeah.
Of course, we had Mike. Help me out, Rusty. He was a famous Mike, not Mike Stone. Was it Mike Stone? No.
No.
Mike Stone's still alive.
No, who am I trying to think of that we just lost?
You mean martial artist wise?
Yeah, martial artist wise.
Mike.
I can't remember. It'll probably come.
I can't remember.
Come to me. Tommy Morrison, a relative to John Wayne, passed away of AIDS this year.
Oh my God.
David
really?
Cross.
I thought he passed away a couple of years ago. I really did. I thought he had passed away a couple of years ago.
David Cross. God, come on. Nothing else is coming up. This website is acting a little weird. But, there's a couple. Marion McPortland. One I found out it died was Marcia Wallace. She was a voice on The Simpsons, and she played the secretary on the Bob Newhart show.
Wow.
God, this is acting a little slow. Who was it? Lee Thomas Young. Eileen Brennan passed away this year.
Eileen Brennan. What was it an old 70s?
She was in Private Benjamin with Goldie Hawn.
Yeah. She was the sergeant or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
April Robin Kelly from that 70s show.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. The sister.
The sister, that's right. That was a big thing. She died of a drug OD a few months ago. Come on. There's some character actors that passed away. One, you'd know his face. You never knew his name. Billy Jack. Tom Laughlin just passed away. Of course,
yeah.
Nelson Mandela.
Psychic lady, too. What was her name? She was always on Montel Williams.
Yeah.
Blah, but he must have smoked like a freight train. I'm talking like, you know, real deep.
It's an S name. Shoot. I forgot her name.
I don't think it's Shoot.
No,
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I'm trying to find this. I don't know what site you've got, Bob, but I'm trying to find also the
Sylvia
celebrity.
Sylvia Brown.
Yes.
Sylvia Brown.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. She's always on Montel Williams. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, yeah.
I know she had there was two or three very high-profile case-like things that I don't know if it was FBI or if it was local or somebody had got her involved and failed miserably on everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Roger Ebert, Conrad Bain.
Yeah.
Of course, James Gandolfini. There were just so many good people that we lost this year. That just unbelievable, really tragic. Some of them had lived a good, healthy life. Some of them, like James Gandolfini, Paul Walker, they were taken way too early.
Yeah, David Frost. I just found out David Frost had died. He was the guy that became famous for his interview with Richard Nixon. He was that TV guy. Same as Haney, Ireland's foremost poet, who won the Nobel Prize for Literature. He died. Julie Harris, Marion McPartland. Died. Disney star Lee Thompson Young died. Like too many people gone. Too many martial artists gone. Also, Jim Kelly, one of them. And I just saw a post from one of my other Facebook friends. His Sifu died. I forget which Sifu it was. But well known in the Kung Fu community. I don't remember which friend it was. I was like, oh my gosh. And Guru Latosa, like, died, you know. Oh, no, that was 2012. I'm sorry.
That was 2012. That's right.
Yeah, that was 2012. Too many people died. And I think the rumors are still going around that Jackie Chan's dead. Still. I don't get it, but I don't know where that. I don't think he's gonna die. I don't know. All right, we've only got about 20 minutes left in the show, so I just kind of want to throw out these 2 points here as far as I was looking at today while prepping the show for some of the best and worst news of 2013, and I'm sure there's worse than this, but I consider this to be the worst news of 2013, and this is my opinion, and I'll go ahead and read it. And Rusty's opinion for the worst of 2013 news is the George Zimmerman fiasco. He managed to beat the rap for homicide in the killing of Trayvon Martin. When the Florida jury found him not guilty, but it got better later on in the year. I don't remember what month it was. It was, I think it was October or September, I forget. he was arrested for threatening to shoot his wife and punching his father-in-law, right? I think it was, yeah, he punched, I'm looking for the story.
She just, didn't she just dismiss the charges?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought I heard that the other day, that she had dismissed the charges or dropped something, I don't know.
She dismissed the charges and wants to get back together with him. And he walked out of jail for that. He was arrested November 18th after a domestic disturbance with his girlfriend. He walked out of jail the following day after agreeing to give up his guns and wear an electronic monitor. You know, okay, George, I know he's not listening, but I'm going to talk to him like he is. Even though my opinion doesn't matter as to whether or not I think you're guilty or not, but I think Wayne and Robert think, I think they know what I'm thinking. Regardless of that, you threatened to shoot your wife, and you punched your father-in-law. And you walked out of jail. I don't know how you walked out of jail, but I don't know how you walked out of jail, but keep this in mind. You're not going to be free of the law forever. You're going to do something stupid, and you're going to do time. So,
yep.
When? There we go. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, we'll have to call that the OJ syndrome. You know, I don't know. I mean, there are his supporters that think that, you know, he's innocent and all the power to them. But what that has to do with gun rights, I don't know. I still think he should have freaking stayed in his freaking car. The stay ground thing doesn't apply when you get out of your car and follow somebody.
I have my CCW. I don't carry that often. If we're going somewhere with a lot of people, I don't like crowds.
Yeah, neither do I.
You know, so 9 times out of 10, you know, I may have it, I may not. But it gives you a different feeling.
It does.
You know, it's like, you know, you just have more, it empowers you to go and say or go too far, you know, with an issue with someone because you know, I got a gun, you know.
Yeah.
They can argue all they want. What are they going to do, you know?
Yeah. I agree. I felt the same way. I used to carry. I let my concealed carry lapse because I found myself relying on it. I kept patting back, you know, to make sure it was there. Like, I remember this one time I was washing my car in an area of Seattle that was called the Hood. I was washing my car, and this little kid came in and asked me for, like, a dollar. And I went, no, sorry, buddy, I ain't got anything. And then he came back with a teenager. And he's like, you know, sorry about my brother, you know, I hope he didn't bother you. You know, but, you know, we're looking for money to get home. You know, do you have any money? I'm like, sorry, we don't. Well, then they came back, and there's two other teenagers, and I patted my back as I said, sorry, guys, I don't have any money. I just put all my change in the car wash machine, and I patted my back again. And I caught myself, and I thought, oh, my God, really? You know, what would I have done if I didn't have this? I would have just relied on my wits.
Yeah.
I would have relied on my fists, my feet, the skin in the car. But no, I have to go and pat my back and not think anything of it. Where did all that training go?
You know, you would have thought of a more logical way to handle it had you not had it.
Exactly.
But like I said, you know, I am very, very, very much in support of our Second Amendment. You know, and
so am I.
You know, for the whole, you know, all the issues going on in the media today, you know, stop, you know, you're making it worse, you know.
Yes, exactly. I am a big supporter of the Second Amendment, and, you know, I'll defend that.
You know, I believe in everybody should express, you know, their rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should. You should know the Constitution. You know, you should know, you know, what you can and cannot do. You know, some of these people, you know, going out and just pushing the law, come on, don't be stupid.
Yeah.
You know, you make it bad for everybody else, you know?
Yeah,
we're all
exactly,
trying to lay low. That's why they're called CCWs, concealed carry.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's not something you want to broadcast out, you know? And you're just making it to where, you know, it's just almost a waste of time, you know, because to strap it on and, you know, because there's too many idiots out there.
Exactly.
Too many idiots.
And, yeah, so there's the worst of 2013, the George Zimmerman fiasco. In fact, you know, there's, you know, instead of the Grammy for the worst, we're going to give him the Dammy for the Dynamic Dojo Dammy. Give him the Dammy Award. He gets the Dammy Award. Sorry, George. You got the Dammy Award. Okay.
Cool. That's right,
Connor. I don't know where my buzzer went for the Emmy Award. We need to actually make that a new segment. There's Bob, the Emmy Award. For stupid things that people do, the Emmy Award. That's a great idea. We'd look into that for 2015. But now, for the best.
You just needed another person that's there all the time that can handle stuff like that.
The Dammy Award?
Rusty, I just remembered who it was. It wasn't a Mike. It was Joe Louis we lost.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We lost Joe. Oh, my God. That's
You've been searching the whole time.
He was quiet.
That's
I was
what
like,
he's
oh,
been
he wasn't
doing
searching.
I know. I was like, where did he? He's gone.
Yeah.
Waiting for you to say you got another banner across your computer. He's gone.
Yeah, I know. I looked, too. I clicked over, and I looked. And never the best of 2013. Out of all the stories that I went through, I have to pull out in Rusty's list for 2013. I think it's the induction of the new Pope, Pope Francis. Why? Because I think he's one of the more progressive popes that we've had so far. I mean,
I think he's probably got the most controversial background.
Yeah.
Any pope we've had, you know, bouncer in a bar.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And he's even won the hearts of like some atheists. Because,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he's just preaching good deeds, humanity, and humility. You know, as opposed to, you know.
What I like, you know, when he canceled or didn't go or something to some big function or what was that? He was elected Pope.
Oh.
I don't know if he called and said, you know, hey, I'm not going to come tonight, you know. But it was some fancy function,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't go.
Wow.
He said conflicted with something else he had going on or something,
oh.
I don't know.
And he just said, nope, I'm not going. And
yeah.
I think one of the acts that I thought that he did lately was that he suspended a German clergyman. And I guess this clergyman was nicknamed the Bishop of Ling. The Bishop of Ling. And he suspended the clergyman because of his lavish lifestyle. He just, like, tore him a new asshole, basically. And
yeah, well, good for him. Somebody needs to.
Yeah, and
you know,
he,
I'm not Catholic, but you know, man, some of the stuff that goes on in the Catholic Church is, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, there's enough goes on in, you know, in regular society, but just in the Catholic Church, oh my goodness. They must have, you know, one awesome damage control department. That's all I know.
Yeah. For sure, and there was also a recent picture that went around of Pope Francis embracing a man who had a disfigured face, right? And some people, oh my God, he's a leper, he's unclean, you know, don't touch him or whatever. But this picture has him embracing.
Looks like he has huge boils or something all over him.
Huge boils. And the story underneath it, the story underneath it said that the man with disfigurement was losing faith. Like in everything, in humanity, God, everything, and just that moment with the Pontiff restored his faith in humanity in general, and it was like, wow, very cool. And capping off this first year as the new Pope, Pope Francis was named as Time Magazine's Person of the Year, a reflection of his popularity with both Catholics and non-Catholics. Now, I'm not Catholic either. I'm considered spiritual but not religious, but Pope Francis really, really got my attention this year.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah. So
I think, you know, as just a general human race, I think that the Catholic Church needed something like him.
Yeah.
Because all the popes, just from what I have noticed, there's a lot of just, you know, tuck it under the rug and you know, keep it out of the media. You know, that's the main thing. You know, don't try to figure out, you know, why this is happening or, you know, ways to fix the problem or whatever. You know, their ways are to just, you know, hey, let's just move them to this parish and we don't have to worry about them.
And
then they go there and do the same stupid things, you know.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think I'm really excited about this Pope myself, and I'm not. I mean, we go to a open Bible, mm-hmm, I guess I would say, church.
Oh, cool.
I don't know why. A lot of the things that the Catholics do kind of, you know, stick in my head, and I ponder on them a lot. So this Pope has got me excited. Really excited.
Yeah, me too. He's not
just a, you know, a lay down kind of guy. He's going to speak up.
Yeah. I read someplace that he refuses to spend the amount of money that it takes to make his usual vestments. Because, like, I read someplace that a set of formal, you know, papal vestments can cost like up to $300,000 or something like that.
Wow.
I'm like, what? And he chose to go kind of like more of like the Woolworth, you know, type of thing, right? You know, let's just make me the stuff. Let's just not, you know, let's spend like thousands of pounds, thousands of dollars for my clothing. What else? He also dresses like a regular priest. And goes out to work with the poor and stuff like that, as opposed to, you know, just, you know, hanging out on the balcony and stuff. And so, you know, there's so much stuff about Pope Francis that I'm really excited about. Surprised. Yeah, and he rides a Harley. He sold
like,
that.
Yeah,
thing.
He can't be bad if he's riding a Harley. Come on.
Yeah. Well, he sold that and put the money to charity.
Yeah, he donated it.
He donated
it to that society, and they are raffling, or did raffle, I can't remember, raffling up for a charity. But he had donated the bike, and it was a pretty decent bike too.
Yeah,
you know,
like,
$30,000-$40,000 bike.
Pope rides a Harley. That's so awesome.
That is so cool.
That is cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, our pastor that we just lost. We had a pastor that left our church, the senior pastor. He drove a Harley.
Wow.
You know, this is a pretty good size church, but yeah, he drives a Harley.
I just think
that's cool.
It is, and wow.
You know, it puts them in a regular person type of view. You know,
right.
It's not they don't see him as just this man of God that you can't, you know, say hell or shit or damn or, you know what I mean, without having to apologize. You know, he's just an average person.
Yeah, I love it. And all the power to the Pope. It's awesome. I hope for many years in his office. I hope.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For sure. Well, my goodness, we have one more caller. Let's go ahead and take it really quick because we have about 5 minutes in our broadcast. Area code 925. Welcome to Dynamic Dojo. Who's this? Area code 925. Area code 925. Area code 9. Hi, this is Rashida on Dynamic Dojo. Who's this?
This is Jeanette.
Oh, hi, Jeanette. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Really good. Thank you for joining us on Dynamic Dojo. I thought you said hi, April.
Hi, Rashida.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Very cool. Well, since we have you on the line, do you have any New Year's resolutions that you plan on following for this coming year?
You know, I'm just going to really just kind of step up my getting back into working out.
Oh, good. Awesome. Any particular method that you're looking into? The gym, the martial arts?
You know, actually, it's just a combination of everything.
Cool.
You know, we do circuit, just kind of circuit training. So it's a combination of everything.
Oh, awesome. Very cool. Yeah. Well, much luck on your resolution. I'm sure you will.
Thank you. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful new year. And,
you too.
You know, hope definitely makes it into my cool book, because anybody who rides, definitely that's like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, any Pope who rides, I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, because because I ride, and I'm like, you know, that just, I have to agree, because, you know, he is probably one of the most down-to-earth, you know, popes that I have ever met. You know, it's just so impressive, you know, to, like, see all the things that he does, and the fact that he takes, you know, what he does and who he is to heart.
Yes. Definitely. Well, very cool. It's good to meet another riding sister. I ride too. So many miles for you, and good luck on your resolutions.
Thank you. And it's always rubber side down. And, you know, the sexiest women are the ones that are, you know, in control.
Yes, sir. All right, rider sister.
Have a
great
wonderful,
year.
Wonderful one. You guys be very, very safe this holiday.
You betcha. Thanks for calling,
you
Jeanette.
Thank you. And you know, and martial arts guys have the hottest abs.
Hear that, you two?
Yes.
Thanks
yes.
for calling, Jeanette.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Awesome. Hear that? Awesome. You guys rock. All
Whoa.
Right. Well, we are heading to the last 2 minutes of our show. And we want to thank all of our listeners for a wonderful year. It's been a great year. We hope to have a great 2014. We are going to kick it off with a blast next Sunday, January 5th, with Master 10 of Enter the Dojo.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to that.
I know. And
Yeah.
Wayne Riley is going to be joining us, too. So we're going to make sure of that, too. For Wow, you set a Dynamic Dojo world record, my friend. You are a guest co-host for 3 shows in a row. You've set the world record.
Wow, I feel so privileged.
There you go.
That's awesome.
You should.
What kind of award do I get? Don't I get an award?
Well, we got to do something other than the jammy.
I don't even get an award? Oh, I'm out of here.
We need to do something other than the jammy. All right. Well, tune in next week, everybody, on January 5th with Master Ken, and hopefully
yes,
some of the
Yes, I am so looking forward to it.
It'll be very cool. So this is Christina, and Wayne, and Bob from Dynamic Dojo signing. We'll talk to everyone next time. See you next week. Bye, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.